We think that turning off our brain with alcohol at the end of the day is me time, and that it's the only way to get a break. This isn't self-care. It's called being depleted and trying to survive a life that drains you. Poor self-care is one of the most reliable predictors of relapse in people trying to get sober. It's important, and in this episode, I'm explaining what self-care is and five simple ways that you can begin to prioritize self-care in your life. I've been slacking hard on my self-care for a while, so I'll also explain how this has been impacting me and my plan to stop depleting myself moving forward. And before we dig in, I would like to thank my sponsors who made this episode possible. What happens if you quit drinking and now you can't sleep? And you're super anxious. Enter Tenassi, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenassi's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenassi is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. Please confirm that you're ordering the THC-free version at checkout. I recommend their gold formula. To learn more, go to tenassi.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off. That's TANASI.com to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. Sober Powered is sponsored by BetterHelp. I was a stress drinker, and I thought, if only I didn't have so much stress, I wouldn't have to drink this much. But do you know why I had all this stress? Because I didn't have the skills to take stressors off my plate, so they built up and wore me down. Some stressors are big and others are small, but carrying around 25 minor annoyances is going to have an impact on you. Plus, did you know that alcohol messes with our stress response system and decreases our ability to handle stress? It makes small things seem like a much bigger deal. Learning how to manage stress and take things off my plate has changed my life. I'm calm, I'm less reactive, and I believe that I can handle whatever comes my way. I feel proud of the way that I handle things now. You can get there too. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sober to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/sober. Whenever I talk about self-care, I always get a comment or a DM asking about what self-care lets you turn off your brain that isn't alcohol. And that's not what self-care is. Self-care is about taking care of future you and not depleting yourself. It's not about escaping your life for a few hours. If you're someone that feels this way, then this is a big sign that you drink problematically and are drinking to cope rather than to unwind or relax. It's important for us to stay on top of our self-care because we are sensitive to triggers to drink. Stress, overwhelm, feeling like you can't get a break, and feeling like no one appreciates you are all triggers to drink. The more self-care that we do regularly, the more we will be able to handle things without feeling triggered to run to alcohol. We think that self-care is about spending money on massages, scrolling social media for hours, canceling everything or not doing chores to get more me time, staying up late watching TV, eating unhealthy food, and of course, drinking. Besides the massage, these are all avoidant behaviors, not self-care. Self-care doesn't have to cost money either. It's about taking care of future you. Sometimes doing the dishes before you go to bed is self-care because it reduces future you's stress. We get stuck thinking that self-care is the same as instant gratification. Self-care is actually delayed gratification. It's going to bed on time, flossing your teeth, going to the gym when you don't want to, making that doctor's appointment that you've been putting off so you don't have to think about it anymore, checking things off your to-do list that you've been procrastinating, responding to emails, unfollowing accounts on social media that make you feel bad about yourself or only spark outrage and controversy, going to therapy, reading books, meditating, finding new hobbies, turning off notifications on your phone for work stuff, and going to that meeting instead of canceling it so you don't have to continue to dread it. These things typically don't take care of in-the-moment you, but they reduce your stress overall so you don't become depleted. I try to make sure that my kitchen is cleaned up before I go to bed because if I don't, the first thing that I see in the morning is a mess that makes me feel bad about myself. I've also found that I procrastinate on rescheduling appointments and responding to emails. Sometimes with the emails, it goes on so long, it's embarrassing. These little tasks take 1 or 2 minutes, but then they sit in my mind for a month, making me feel guilty. Self-care is handling these immediately and not procrastinating so that I can reduce my background stress and free up some mental energy. Self-care is also taking breaks when you have to and not pushing yourself too hard. It's knowing when you need to read a book and have a rest day and not making yourself feel guilty for it afterwards. And sometimes it is mani-pedis and massages, and that's okay too if that's part of your self-care routine. I've been very tired lately. It's a crippling exhaustion that makes me feel like my eyes are half closed sometimes. Then I can't do any work because I'm too tired, so I feel guilty for not being productive. Then I also can't rest because I'm trying to make myself work, so then I feel depressed because I'm not doing anything with my time. Then I get anxious because I fall behind and I haven't given myself a break and my heart races in the middle of the night, so then I don't sleep. It's been quite the cycle. Parkinson's law tells us that work expands to fill the time available for its completion. Meaning, if I allow myself to work 24/7, then my work expands to take forever. And I bet there's a variation of Parkinson's law with meetings too. Meetings expand to fill the amount of open calendar slots that you have. When I became a full-time podcaster, I couldn't believe how many meetings I had. I thought that meetings were only for official jobs, not working for yourself, but people just kept putting stuff on my calendar, and that was because I let them. Then I decided that I will only take meetings on Thursdays, got rid of my calendar link so they'd have to discuss it with me, and the number of meetings I had each week significantly dropped. I gave up basically all my friendships and hobbies to create this podcast and spread the word about it. And I knew the sacrifices. I was willing to do it, and I don't regret it. So don't feel bad for me. However, I am in a very unhealthy routine where I just work nonstop or sit and do nothing, and I'm struggling to break it. So if you're a longtime listener, the first time that I mentioned trying to get out of the 7-day-a-week routine was last June, which is almost a year ago. Studies on workaholism have consistently found that working long hours has a negative impact on our physical and mental health, and that it's associated with anxiety, burnout, heart disease, depression, and sleeping problems. And studies estimate that about 10% of the US population may be workaholics. I want to have a normal life now, and I'm at the point where when I'm too tired, depressed, or anxious to work, I don't even know what to do with my free time, so I just sit there. I want to try to find some more hobbies. I go on walks and I go to the gym and do personal training once a week, but I want more stuff to do that I enjoy that's relaxing. So because all I do is work or recover from working, my self-care has suffered. Poor self-care makes it easier for us to become angry, anxious, and resentful. And studies continuously say this. Poor self-care is one of the most reliable predictors of relapse. If you've taken anger management with me or you're in the Living a Sober Powered Life community, then there's a good chance that I've asked you about your self-care and told you how important it is. I'm really bad at it though, and now I'm trying to do something about it. And I know, self-care sounds so stupid. But remember, it's not so much about massages and face masks. It's about not depleting yourself so that you have to check out and escape your life. Based on what I've seen from my own experience and with the people that I've worked with, transition times are very difficult for us. We don't know how to end one thing and start another. Usually, ending the workday and beginning to rest. Because we struggle with transitions, we use alcohol to force it. This is a trigger time that I see with so many people. And my husband came up with a really good idea for me. So if I plan to work on my podcast from 6 to 10 a.m., then I can go to the gym at 10 as my transition into not working on the podcast anymore. And another one I thought of is that I'll check and respond to emails at 4 p.m. And after that, I'm transitioning out of the workday. So I encourage you to take some time and think about how you're transitioning, because often we come home and we're stressed or anxious, or if you work from home or you're a stay-at-home parent, you have so much stress and anxiety and exhaustion. And then we sit on the couch and we expect to relax, but we don't know how. So then we go grab some alcohol to force us to relax. And that's not a long-term solution. One of the more difficult parts of sobriety is that we just are ourselves all the time. We don't get to check out anymore. You can kind of disconnect and watch some reality TV and rest, but you're still yourself. So if you're trying to find a replacement in sobriety so that you can turn off your brain and have the same effect, you're not going to find it. Sobriety and self-care are all about understanding how to take care of yourself and how to build a life that you enjoy and build stress management techniques. I've also been tempted to try and jam-pack as many healthy things into my new routine as I can, like setting goals to drink a greens drink every morning when I wake up. But we have to resist the urge to be all or nothing, because trying to make too many changes at once is not sustainable, and it'll make us burn out and quit. So just focus on one thing, and when that's a routine, add another thing. I'm just going to focus on managing my time better and building in time for rest. But first, I have to figure out what people actually do when they rest. And then I'll build time for whatever that is. So if you're working on this too, then here are 5 things to pay attention to as you prioritize self-care. 1, who do you spend your time with? Do you spend a lot of time with people that suck the life out of you? Do you spend time with people who drink like we used to drink? You don't have to ditch all your friends and family, but having positive, healthy people in your circle is key. And you can get these online in a sober community if you don't have them in real life yet. But here's an example. I had a friend who wanted to complain about her husband nonstop whenever we went out. And this actually made me look for more problems in my own marriage. And every time I came home from seeing her, I would be tired and cranky. It can be as simple as that. 2nd thing to think about, how's your nutrition? Do you drink any water? Which I'm saying as I realize I have not had any water today. Do you eat nutritious foods? Or are you blasting yourself with fried food, processed food, and sugar? The food that we eat can give us energy and health, or it can make us tired and sluggish. You don't have to be the world's most nutritious, cleanest eater on the planet. And please don't start this perfect diet plan. And if you're obsessing over the amount of weight that you want to lose in sobriety that you haven't yet, please go listen to episode 188. Where I discuss this in a lot of detail. Just focus on making healthy, sustainable choices and eating food that you actually enjoy. That's enough. Like, did you eat a vegetable today? No? Why don't you go find one and eat a vegetable, please? Keep it simple. 3, how is your sleep? I will always tell you to do sleep hygiene. I think that it's very helpful to go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. It trains your body to get tired on time, and then you get better sleep and feel more alert when you wake up in the morning. A lot of us get revenge bedtime procrastination, where we feel like we didn't get any me time during the day, so we stay up late getting that time scrolling or watching TV. All this does is make you more tired the next day. I used to go to bed between 10 and 11, and now I go to bed at 9. I realize the only thing I'm missing out on is an extra hour of TV. That's not adding to my life. 1 hour of TV versus two does not make a difference. Plus, if you wake up earlier, you can use that time to do all sorts of good stuff. Number four, what do you enjoy doing? Are you just sitting around watching TV all night before you go scroll on your phone in bed? Do you sit around and do nothing, thinking about what you should do? I do that one a lot, so no shame. If you're not sure what you enjoy doing, then this is your opportunity to try new things or revisit some hobbies that you used to enjoy. Sitting around doing nothing except feeling guilty and anxious depletes us. Scrolling reels for an hour and they're all stupid depletes us. And then you realize that you wasted an hour and you didn't even see anything good. Or even worse, you come across a creator that just uses controversy and outrage to get more views, and then they piss you off, and now your mood is ruined. Number five, are you taking minor annoyances off your plate, or are you procrastinating and letting them rent space in your mind for weeks or months? This is a big focus for me moving forward. I don't know why I do this, but I avoid taking care of things that take 1 to 2 minutes, and then I will keep it in the back of my mind forever. If it takes less than 5 minutes, we should just freaking do it. I keep telling my trainer that May is going to be my month, and now I'm telling you for accountability, so I'll update you on May 31st, either as a podcast if it's very interesting, or in an email or something. And I want you to focus on your own self-care and thinking more about how can you take care of future you and reduce your stress levels so things don't build up and it feels like an emergency that you have to check out and escape. You don't have to feel that way anymore. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next one.
Addiction impacts all of us. Addiction's consequences run through all of us. From ourselves to our loved ones and through our communities, addiction creates so much loss and grief. My name is Dwayne Osterlin, and I'm the host of the Addicted Mind podcast, a show featuring personal stories, expert guests, and vital information about addiction and addiction recovery. We'll talk with leading treatment providers to discuss the latest research and treatment options for this devastating disease and advocate for mental health awareness. We discuss topics like the importance of creating a community of support to helping loved ones to some of the latest research on psychedelic medicines. The Addicted Mind podcast has been about creating hope, listening to stories of many amazing people that have overcome addiction and are thriving. If you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, subscribe to the Addicted Mind podcast wherever you get your podcasts or check out theaddictedmind.com. New episodes every Monday. See you there.